Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the PGP, the show about the show within the show, the Permission Granted podcast. We pull the curtain back and take you inside the mothership. And there's multiple ways you can download this and listen to this. You could do so by going to the normal DA Show iTunes feed or podcast feed, however you do get that podcast, and just search PGP within it, because every single week we post it there. But it also is available on its own podcast feed. So if you go to your favorite podcast platform, just search Permission Granted or PGP. You should be able to find us. And when you do, please rate and review it. That helps other people find it higher in their search terms. That'll help other people like you find it easier as well. So Mraz joins me, and it is here. The 12 DAs of Christmas is here. You have given us the master list. Also this year, you gave us clips of all of the submissions, and our homework over the weekend was to listen to the clips and vote on the clips. And vote, of course, give your top 12 and then first four out. I also added my submissions for Stuck in the Chimney, which are just little short bumps back from break, little rejoins that we also play. So the results are in. You have tallied them. What was your early impressions of getting the ballots?
Well, my early impressions were way more parity this year in terms of deep analytical voting than in past years. In past years, we seemed to have a pretty consensus 1 through 3. You kind of knew who would be number one. This year, that was not the case at all. In fact, just from looking at it, there was only one. Oh, I'm sorry. Two people had something voted number one and the other three didn't. And then another two people had something voted number one and then the other three didn't. And it, you know, the numbers are basically all over the place. People had stuff in the top five that others had completely out of their top 12. So this was actually a really hard number crunching years to try to get down to the consensus 12. This voting was all over the place, which I guess, hey, another part of 2020, everything was all over the place this year.
There was a lot of really good candidates at the top, unlike maybe other years where there was a clear-cut number one and everybody went right with number one and then everything else shuffled around it. There was no clear-cut number one, although I thought that there was 5 or 6, unlike other years, that could have been a number one. And I think they all would have been strong number ones. I don't think that once I got to, like, I was ranking them as I listened to them and I was moving them up and down in my list. And there was a couple of times where I had something at 3 or 4 and I was like, wow, I don't want to move it down, but I got to move it down. And then there was something at 5 and I was like, well, this can't be outside of the top 5. And then I heard something else and said, ah, I got to push out of the top 5. So I was impressed by the quality of like the top 4 or 5
yeah.
clips that we had.
It's deep. It kind of reminded me of an NCAA tournament where any one of those top seeds, obviously, you think could end up in the Final Four cutting down the nets, and they all have to be separated a bit. So I don't know your philosophy, and you know I really geek out over the 12 DAs every year. I kind of look at it as like a little pet project, and I love looking back. I love to remember when. So that, to me, my favorite time of the year is when we do the 12 DAs. Anyway, what I generally do, and I did this again this time, is I looked at every candidate. I actually wrote them down on a piece of paper instead of just scanning, basically out, looked on the computer. And I said, all right, off the top of my head, before I listen, what can't you tell the history of the DA show this year in 2020 without having on there? So I wanted to circle those because I wanted that. And then from that point, I went back and listened to everything and was able to rank it. So I kind of, before I even listened to everything, wanted to know, because I also think that's an important element. It's not just listening back, but what do you remember fondly about this year from the show to make sure that reminds you that even when you're listening, maybe it's not as funny, but it sticks out as memorable. And I think that's the way I kind of try to combine the two thought processes with the 12 DAs.
So I don't want to give away the list here or your ranking specifically, but what were some of the clips that you felt defined the season? That we could not tell the story of 2020 of the DA show without X clips.
So I could give away the candidates without telling where they fell?
Yeah.
Like some of those?
Yeah, because you had a handful of those probably.
Right, yes, exactly. I think the SAT drama that came around, to me, you can't tell a story. That was anger. That was me wowing people. Then there was controversy. That was, you know, basically a two-week-long thing. To me, the SATs, which seemed like a different year because that was when we were still in studio, I don't think you could look back and not – that probably is if we did a 10-year anniversary show, we would look back at the SAT controversy. So to me, that had to be in there. I think also the idea of the Patriots' funeral had to be included there because we had a seance basically in studio with all of that. So right off the bat, those two had to be a part of it. And then to me, I also looked at Mothership at the Movies because it was such a big part of getting us through. Is there a Mothership at the Movies candidate? Because that has to tell a story of the year. So I made sure I had to include something on that because that was such a big part, a focal point of the year. Then my other thing would be something that I continuously laugh at randomly. I could be in the shower. I could be taking the dog for a walk. And then that is the idea that Peter Schwartz went to the vet when he was injured. So, I'm not telling you where I ranked those. Those don't even necessarily mean in my top five. To me, those four items had to be included somewhere on my list personally, even before I re-listened, because those are moments you're always going to remember as part of the DA show.
That's interesting. I definitely agree with you on the SAT controversy. I think even though that happened so early, that was January, I believe.
Right, because I was paying off the bet that we're still doing now with Super Dave and the picks and all of that.
Even though that was so long ago, nearly 12 months ago, 10 and a half months ago or so, it was so memorable because of you losing the bet, because of having Chicken Pesto Lady be your proctor, because of you taking the test amidst Oliver Luck coming in. Actually, I guess it was February because that was around Valentine's Day.
Right.
And
just ahead of the XFL launch.
Me grading it. Mistakenly giving you the 11-10, you crowing that we're going to call you Mr. 11-10, bogus unloading on me for misgrading it. I mean, there was so much wrapped up into that. It's hard to tell the story. You're right without that. I also thought the Patriots' funeral told the story of the DA shows 2020 because we love to bag on the Pats so much. And that was a full-fledged funeral that we put to bed. The dynasty and the Patriots are so bad right now that it really looks prophetic. Had they gone 12-4 this year and they were awesome, it wouldn't be as effective as a bit. But it was last year, which was amazing. And then I think the other storyline that we could have never planned was the Sean Forrest twist.
Yeah.
This Wario character, the evil version of you that was running roughshod around Long Island and ruining your reputation in your mind behind the scenes. I don't think we could have ever planned for how much speed that thing took off with. And again, I don't know how we tell the story of 2020 without that. And then fourthly, if this is my Mount Rushmore, no question, the Schwartz vet story is one in a million. because it only happens because we have access to Vince Quinn. And Vince was a brand new weekend overnight guy that had just been hired January 1, basically. And to our company Christmas party, which I don't even know if Schwartz usually goes to these things.
Oh, DA, there's free food. He goes.
Has he been at all these before?
Yes. He is part of that group of people you see that you know that they're there for one reason only. They'll pay the $40 to get into the city as long as they can eat for free.
So that's how memorable my conversations are with Schwartz around the company Christmas party. I don't even remember him being there. So the fact that he gets off of a train, subway, downtown Manhattan, midtown Manhattan, to go to this place, trips, falls, busts open his hand on a little fence for make sure doggies don't wee-wee on the trees, busts it open, and in the middle of the night, stumbles into a vet. And the only way we know any of this is because brand new hire Vince Quinn witnessed it and went with him to the vet instead of going to the Christmas party.
Oh.
And then we found out about it and had Vince on the show. That was gold. It was sent to us from the radio gods as gold. It will be the most ridiculous Peter Schwartz story ever, and that's saying something because he's a lifetime worth of ridiculous stories.
Right, and he's a bit of a punching bag on the show, and yes, maybe that could wear some people down, but this is the, like, if you're going to talk about Peter Schwartz throughout the whole year, again, telling the whole history, how do you not go back to the moment he went to a vet to take care of animals, to patch up his hand because he thought, well, they do medical stuff there. Like, that is cartoonish. That is it's a Kevin James movie. I mean, that is stuff that only you see on TV and you laugh out loud because how ridiculous it is. And it happened in real life to somebody who used to be a part of the show. It has to be in the 12 DAs. It has to.
It has to. And so, one other thing that I thought came up from the 12 DAs was this was a year that we got a lot of behind the scenes of your life and your origin story.
Yeah.
Of course, you've been a big character and a personality on the show and a punchline for many years. But this year we had your mom call into the show. I think this was around you taking the SATs. We also had the story that, again, I don't know how we stumbled upon this gold. I had never known this 8 years working with you, that your mom farted at a wedding and blamed it on you. And it was a scarring experience in your life. I had no idea. Then we had the Sean Forash behind the scenes of West Babylon, a guy that you felt from your past was trying to steal your identity. And then we had the guy that beat you for most likely to be a talk show host from your high school senior yearbook, who joined us on the show as well. We found so many new things about your development into Mraz.
Boy, I never really thought about it until you just ran it down. I don't know if that's a combination of, you know, us having to retreat and work from home. There's a lot more reflection in life in 2020. Whatever combination of things developed, you're right. There is. It was like I wrote a biography throughout these last 12 months. And several candidates end up in the 12 DAs. And on that wedding fart point, you know, it is such a funny story, but it's something that's obviously haunted me, and it's been a big part of my life and my mom's life and everything like that. You know, everybody was ranking that pretty good. And I have to be honest, when I was going through the 12 DAs and I went back and I looked at my rankings compared to everybody else's, not to reveal anything, I think I maybe undersold the wedding fart a little bit because subconsciously I'm still trying to protect my mother and that fart because I don't think I had it as high as some of the other guys, or maybe that hurt it a little bit. And I remember thinking about it, looking back at it last night and going, huh, did I not rank the wedding fart hard enough because I'm still under protection here?
You know what didn't even get a lot of run, and it was such a stacked year, but I think it'll get some run maybe in the first four out, was when you went on strike for a day.
Oh, great point.
Now, that led to Anthony Pierno trashing you as we did the interviews for producers that wanted your job in the wake of you striking. But in terms of the strike itself, It happened back in January, but I don't know if it'll make the top 12.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I think what hurts the strike itself is that you don't actually get me on the air really talking about the strike because I'm striking. So while it's a memorable moment, I don't know that it plays as a top 12 audio moment, if that makes any sense. It was more visual with picket signs and everything else that day on the stream. And that was all over you guys not apologizing if the Astros cheating. I mean, what the heck happened this year? It has been a long year.
Another thing that happened that we're not even going to probably immortalize the 12 DAs is you losing the Yankees-Indians bet and having to tweet nice things about the Rays and having the Rays cap and jersey as your avatar. You know, that's not an on-air thing necessarily, but that also defined, I think, 2020 as well for the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Me having to go through all of that, you guys getting mad at me about loopholes. Man, that is another forgotten moment. This year is so unbelievably loaded. And DA, to me, see, you're bringing up all these other things. I think another thing that didn't get a lot of love, just having a little conversation, we volley here. Badlands Booker admitted to eating a whole Admiral's feast. I mean, there are years. A fat man on the show admits that, and it's got to be the number 112 DA, and maybe that moment gets overshadowed a little bit. The man ate a whole feast and admitted to it.
Well, that Admiral's feast bit will end up making the 12 DAs, and I've got good confidence it's going to be in, like, at least the top 10 and probably higher than that. So I don't know if it's completely overlooked, but we did have other more memorable dominant moments where that gets slightly overshadowed. And, you know, Badlands joined us multiple times this year. I mean, his Thanksgiving stuff just the other day was excellent as well. But during pandemic, remember, this was the first event, the first sporting event. It was their eating challenge where they had like some type of weird marathon or Olympics and eating Olympics. And so he joined us to talk about the eating Olympics or something like that. And then we got into his Admiral's feast.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to tell you who I voted number one. I thought about, I may have voted Booker number one, and I looked down at everybody else's rank. I said, man, am I the only one that found this as funny as it was? So it just shows you the palette of all five of us, including Andrew Kaplan, where we could go back and listen to stuff, and something sticks with somebody more than sticks with others. It really does create for a fun debate and list.
It's true. It's great. I mean, it's really great every year to do this, not only to laugh again, because I was just listening to all these clips and just laughing out loud. I'm alone in the living room with my laptop listening to these. And my wife is like, are you laughing? What are you laughing at? I'm like, I'm just listening to all these clips for the 12 DAs. They are not only so funny to listen back on, but it's also fun to just relive what the year was like. And every year we do this. And this year was so weird because this was our first year on mornings. Doesn't it feel like we've been doing mornings forever?
Yeah. It does. It feels like I've done a year in mornings in the studio and a year in mornings at home. Meanwhile, it hasn't even been a full year total.
I keep thinking about how many years we've been in mornings. And I'm like, wow, this is the first year. So we began January 1 or January 2, whatever that was, doing the morning show. And we got through 2.5 months. March, I end up going on my annual road trip to spring training. Huh. And during spring training, on that Wednesday that I land on a Wednesday morning. By Wednesday night, Rudy Gobert tested positive Wednesday night. And it was like, oh, God. The NBA had canceled its entire season or postponed it by Thursday. And by Thursday, the Big East tournament was the only conference tournament still playing. And by Friday, every conference tournament was toast. The NCAA tournament was toast. Baseball's spring training. I was at baseball spring training. The last game they would play, I was at. That was a Thursday. They canceled it the next day on Friday. Baseball paused. The NBA paused. The NHL paused. The NCAA tournament paused. I returned home on Monday or Sunday, and then we were on the air Monday morning.
I was on paternity when you returned. I wasn't even there for the last week in studio.
And it suddenly, the world had changed.
Yeah.
I had gone down on a Wednesday morning to watch baseball spring training. And by Sunday when I had returned, the world had changed. And Monday, I went into work to the studio. And I went into work and I'm like, are we going to still be doing shows from the studio? And that day, management was like, nope, you're going to go home with equipment, and we're telling all of our hosts to do shows from home. And I'm like, well, how is that going to work? Where am I going to plug this in? What's my studio going to look like? What am I going to do? That Monday, they basically was like being a Ghostbuster. I went into the engineering room. They were handing out these Comrex units to all of the hosts like we were getting a backpack and going off to war. Like, good luck. There's your war bag. And it was like, how do I set this up? How does this turn on? How do I reset this? How do I calibrate this? All of these things that I was going through a crash course after the show at like 11 a.m. Okay, and you're out the door. And on Tuesday, I remember on Monday, I said goodbye to the parking garage attendant. And these guys are so nice. They're so super nice. And the guy said, I'll see you tomorrow. I go, no, you're not going to see me tomorrow. He goes, I'm not. I don't think I'm coming back for a while. He goes, really? He goes, is that bad? Huh? I go, yeah, it's really bad. I said, I don't think you're going to see a lot of people from our office for a long time. That was March. I would have thought I would have seen him by late summer, early fall.
Yeah.
That ain't obvious. That didn't happen. It ain't going to happen. And now you fast forward. We had a life before pandemic in the mornings. Then we did 3 months without sports. Think about from the moment we started pandemic shows, which was mid-March, we didn't have a sporting event until June.
Yeah. Well, we had the NFL draft, if that counts. But
right. Well, we had NFL free agency.
Right.
With the NFL draft. Those were
game. Right.
Those were absolutely enormous, and that carried us. But we didn't have a sporting event to talk about until early June when golf came back and then NASCAR came back. And then we remember in June, it was international soccer.
Right.
So we started talking about Bundesliga. And then that was German. And then the English Premier League came back and we had a little bit of that. But it was mainly like making jokes about it. You can't break down Bundesliga on the air.
Right. I did the Sunday night soccer song, which is
right.
Even on here.
And then we finally got, think about this, we didn't really get sports back until mid-July when the NBA bubble restarted and then baseball started one of the last 2 weeks of July and then hockey started.
Yeah, and mid-July is generous, by the way. That was like July 28th.
So by late July, but we had went from late March to late July without anything to talk about. That's 3 to 4 months.
Insane.
Which is why we had to do Mothership at the Movies every single week, and we devoted 2 segments and a permission-granted podcast to a sports movie every single week. That's why we had This Date in Mothership History, so that at least once a show, we could talk about a historical moment on the show and break each other's balls over it. And it's why we started doing things like, remember, My Favorite People in Sports?
Yeah.
It was conversations with favorite media members that I have, just conversations about sports and life and career. Then we had My Favorite Team Ever. All of us picked out our favorite team from our youth and interviewed one of the players from that team. I mean, we were running Gadget Place. We were like Taysom Hill. It was all
right.
Gadget Place for 3 months.
Right.
4 months.
And at least we had Trash Tuesday because it got real agitated. People were angry. People were home all the time. It was tough times for sure.
I mean, think about now that we're talking about last night there was a Buccaneers and Rams game. Now think about all of April, all of May, all of June, and half of July. We didn't have a Buccaneers Rams game or anything of the like to really break down.
I hope that has changed me forever because I don't know about you, DA. And, yeah, part of it is we're working from home, so it's a little bit easier. But there were nights, of course, in my past, even during the middays, where that game stinks tonight. I'm going to go to bed at halftime. I have stayed up for every minute of these primetime games because I know what the 4 months of sports was like not having it, and I don't want to miss a damn moment of it not knowing if it would ever be taken away again. So I am fully appreciative of everything that we've had with some of these primetime games this year.
It's incredible. Now, I will say the strength of the show is we didn't really miss a beat because the show is not built on breaking down games necessarily. It's built on our chemistry
right.
And our humor and what we do every single day. So I thought that the shows were all really solid shows. I mean, I remember thinking like, how are we going to get through this show? And then coming out of it being like, you know what, that was good. And how are we going to do this week? The first week in May, you're like, okay, it's another 5 days. We got to get through 4 hours a day, and there is nothing going on, no sporting events. What do you do? But we had The Last Dance, which was huge, which was the documentary about Michael Jordan. We spent a lot of hours on that. Spent a lot of hours, remember, on forgotten classics. We took games that people had forgotten about and had the broadcasters or the guy that had taken part of that game and talked about them.
I was watching a lot of those.
Yep. So we found ways to get through it. We schemed it up. It was a Belichick. We schemed it up. But I thought the shows were always good. But that is the story of 2020, that we had to scheme it up for 4 months on the show. It's a long time.
Now, leading to the next question, all of these moments represent happy, memorable, funny times. Did we drop the ball, not including you calling into me in Bogus that day where the world changed as a memorable, oh my goodness, where we are as a 12 DA?
Well, that's interesting. I thought about this because Cap wanted us to include when Charles Oakley and Chris Childs absolutely crushed the Knicks and Patrick Ewing.
Right.
And that was one of our most famous on-air moments. I mean, that got tons of run. It was in the newspapers, in the New York Daily News. It was in all over the internet. I mean, it was a huge, huge New York sports story that we created. I was like, it doesn't fit the tenor of this because everything is so wacky, goofy, and laughy. So calling in that day, while incredibly memorable and like definitely a milestone of the DA show, I didn't think it felt like a 12 DA. What do you think?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that much like a trash Tuesday I had 2 weeks ago, we have been reminded and pounded over the head enough about the severity and awfulness that has gone on this year, and obviously it's led to a bunch of people arguing over what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do, that I think the 12 DAs has forever served as that laugh out loud, enjoy the moment, and I think people are getting reminded of when the world changed enough that they don't need us doing that with a moment that they look forward to every year and every day, and that's the 12 DAs, to me.
I wonder if maybe it's worth just putting together like a little 1 or 2 minute montage of just some of those clips from around then, just as the very end of the year, like this was 2020.
I mean, right.
It had it all. So 12 DAs of Christmas, when does this begin?
So the first four out begin on Tuesday, December 1st. That is next week. We will come back. We will have a nice Monday recap in the NFL show. And then on that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you will get the first four out. We regroup, and I guess that's, what, December 7th or 8th, that next Monday coming back after week 14 of the NFL, you'll get into a 12-day stretch where it's the 12 DAs after that. So next week, first four out, 12 DAs to follow the weeks that lead after that.
I love it. 12 DAs are here. It's my favorite time of year. The list is amazing. I can't wait to see how it shakes out. I can't wait to see how the voting goes. I put in my vote. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. So that starts up coming up on Tuesday, as Mraz mentioned. And now for a side B, are we going to go back to swing or a miss? Or
no. Another? We're waiting another one. We're waiting. Okay. No. As you would say, no. We're not doing swing or a miss yet. I want to get into a little bit of Bogus Thanksgiving plans. It's a big week for us. I have some worries if I were to only do a Thanksgiving internally with just Danielle about eliminating foods. Bogus might have some of that. We go back and forth on that, plus his thoughts on the 12 DAs. So a little Thanksgiving table setter, if you will, on side B.
Excellent. And you're out on Wednesday, right?
I am. I had some days to burn. Originally, this was going to be a day I was going to help my dad put up some Christmas lights. I don't know if that's on the table, but yes, I am out Wednesday. I will be back in full force on Monday.
Which means we get Shep tomorrow. Shep on Wednesday morning.
It's a big spot. I've emailed Shep on Monday because I had booked some guests for the show, and I know there's a lot of moving parts, and I know Shep can stress the heck out of Pete the Body. Heck, he stresses the heck out of all of us. And I once again tried to simplify because sometimes Shep likes to go the extra 10 steps to take one step. I tried to simplify everything Shep needs to do on one email. So I am hoping I don't get a million text messages tomorrow with somebody basically ready to throw Shep off a bridge.
I can't wait.
It's going to be a wild card, that's for sure.
Hey, guys, it's just so great to work with you around the holidays. I'm just really thankful that you guys will open up your doors to me and let me be part of this DA Show family. The chemistry is so amazing right around the holidays. Hey, Pete, thank you for teaching me so much stuff about the board. And DA, thank you for teaching me about hosting. It is just so great to be around you guys.
And on that note of things that Shep's going to have to track, I mean, a day where we have Super Dave and Shep involved in the same show is wacky enough. Super Dave will be making his picks on Wednesday's show. Maybe you've already listened to this by the time he's made his picks. If you're looking for my picks, they will be in my column, so don't worry. It's not like Super Dave's getting three ahead. My picks will be out there, and I'll tweet them out as well.
Okay, very good. That is side A. What's your side B?
It is side B of the PGP on this Thanksgiving week. Gobbledy, gobbledy, gobble. Turkey is coming, but first is Bogish. It's Bogish. It's Miraz. It's me, Miraz, and here is Bogish. It's side B of the PGP. Hello, Andrew.
Hi. Yes, we are arguably a bottom third appetizer for Thanksgiving dinner. Many more things are to have besides me and you, but we'll still push through here.
That's right. I figured I'd go back to the howdy doody do here for the intro.
Yeah.
You know, pep people up. People are excited this week. It's to me, in you know what's been a very you know sad year in so many ways. This is you live for a good Thanksgiving dinner, at least fat people like I do, Bogus. So I am fired up for it. It is a happy week as far as I'm concerned to be able to enjoy all the food and the stuff that goes with it. So let's just kick it off there before we get into any 12 DA stuff. Your excitement level for a Thanksgiving dinner in terms of all-time dinners throughout the 365 days a year?
Ooh, so, yeah, this is the only holiday, well, the two of them. This is number one, clear number one, because it's the one that's surrounding food. Only Easter in my house has ham locked in as its meal. These are the only two real meal-specific holidays. Everything else, you know what? My mom would be mad I'm not mentioning St. Patrick's Day, corned beef and cabbage,
terrible,
Irish
though.
Soda bread. So there's that as well. But
that's a garbage
give me
meal,
turkey.
Though.
I mean, the cabbage is completely unnecessary. Corned beef's delicious. Yeah. Irish soda bread's delicious. I don't need cabbage, so we got that. So that's why that ends up number third. Then we give me an Easter ham, and then there's a jump. Like, there's a jump atop the AFC, you know, everybody else, then the Chiefs and Steelers.
Right.
Get me up top. Chiefs plus Steelers are what turkey is for me.
Okay, so now we've had this debate. We did it last week on the show, and then we had, obviously, Badlands Booker on, who didn't disappoint, about the timing of Thanksgiving dinner. And you're an earlier bird kind of guy. Early bird takes the worm. You're saying you're eating around 2:30, something like that?
No, like 4. See, because this is the problem sometimes, right, like when you and I go back and forth, is that I feel like we end up arguing not the original point, but, like, other specific. The other day, like, you were, like, as I said on the air, like, you know, you were calling people cowards and fake. Like, you were going all over the place, even though you have a unique Thanksgiving because you throw in all of the Italian heritage and your traditions there that most people don't have. And that changes your entire Thanksgiving dynamic, but you wouldn't let anybody else change their Thanksgiving dynamic because then it wasn't matching yours and therefore they were fake and frauds or whatever. But like, I do think in general that there is a too early to have your turkey. Now, again, my family eats about 4. Whoever suggested with a tweet or a call who had the actual turkey at lunchtime, like around noon, like that's just too early.
Yeah, I agree.
Again, it's not terrible, but it's too early. But like, I still think that in my life in 40 years now, the people I've come across, the Thanksgivings I've been invited to, I mean, my wife's family, girlfriends before hers family,
whoa,
like no one ate as late as you guys eat. Like no one had it at dinner time like you guys are having it. So you're on a short list of people that I know that have Thanksgiving dinner like in darkness. Normally we're like in a twilight East Coast 4:30 kind of thing, but you're going full darkness for your Thanksgiving meal.
I've definitely eaten at 4:30 specifically when I eat with my wife's family, but to your point, never earlier than that. Now you gather by, let's say, 2:00. I believe the Thanksgiving I'll be eating at is at 2:00 as well, and that's, you know, you pick at your appetizers and all that. So are you even doing appetizers, or is turkey the first thing you guys are eating at 4:00?
So we've made the decision because My dad is on the older side of things and has some. He's got COPD, so like we got to be careful with him. And
sure.
Then
a lot of people. Have to make so it's just like that this year. Yeah.
It's just the four of us this year. So okay. We haven't really fully locked in every single menu item, but there will be things to snack on while I'm watching football. Everybody else is doing God knows what, and then we'll have a nice small Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay, so you're doing what a lot of obviously families are doing, and what a lot of people recommend, you know, health experts do. It's just going to be you, your internal household is all that's going to be for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and partly because Christmas in general is more significant in our minds, so we're trying to, if we have to really bear down and do something really crazy and specific, like we're going to go all out to make sure we can do something safe for Christmas. So we're kind of punting on Thanksgiving now because it does, as great as it is, it's just a meal. Well, like I want my parents and my mother-in-law like to see the kids open presents and whatnot. So
totally.
We're going to make the effort for Christmas, not for Thanksgiving.
Totally understandable. The only reason I bring that up is, see, I don't know how it works. You're not a fat guy like me, but my fear, and we're going to be doing something with my aunt this year. It was Taylor's first Thanksgiving, so it's nothing crazy. I would say there's probably going to be anywhere between 10 to 12 of us, which is right around the cap that the governor of New York is looking to put it at. But anyway, my fear would be if I only did our household, and we did this for Easter this year. It was just me, my wife, and obviously the baby who didn't really count at that point. And my wife basically was like, it's only us, so we'll scale back here. And like, I didn't get the full-blown, like, I need to pig out, like, be the pig on Easter Sunday that I usually am. And my fear would be if we just did that on Thanksgiving, she'd be like, okay, we don't need to make a whole turkey. Let's just make a turkey breast and choose one, stuffing or mashed potatoes, because we don't need – like, that would annoy me. And I don't think I would have a supportive wife to my fat needs on a holiday if it was just the internal. She would just be like, well, why do we need all this if it's just the two of us? So you think you guys will still have your normal, traditional, whatever you're usually eating with just the four of you?
Well, no, because we're not. We actually had this conversation this morning in a commercial break. Like, we're not making a turkey. We're getting turkey breast and making it.
I'm out.
So we're not getting it because the four of us. And I'm the only one in my household right now that's actually full on excited for turkey.
Like, but don't if we were you need having, the imagery? Don't you need the imagery? Those legs sticking up? Isn't that part
no,
of it?
No, I just need the. I need the smell. I need some mashed potatoes. I need some gravy. I need the cranberry sauce in the can with the can imprint on the outside of it, like that.
Yeah.
I need that. I don't need the visual of the bird. I just need to be able to taste it. So however it gets to me, I'm not going to complain.
Okay. All right. So interesting. So Bogus is doing the one thing I would fear. And obviously, I think one of the cool parts about Thanksgiving and having all of you guys listening as listeners is no matter where you are in a different country, all the different culture items we get, you know, people living in different parts of the states, what their favorite foods are. And there was a map that Andrew Kaplan, I believe, had tagged a bunch of us in it. Some of you listeners had chimed in on Twitter, at Mraz, CBS, and at Andrew Bogus, where there's many states where Jell-O Bogus is their top food on Thanksgiving, which, I mean, I guess it's out there for dessert. And you and I were both unbelievably blown away by it. I love Jell-O, and I think Jell-O is a place on the dessert table. But for that to be your favorite Thanksgiving food, isn't that stunning?
I mean, I still don't understand where that came from. Like, unless they're calling my cranberry shaky, like, tube of, like, whatever, Jell-O. It's not sauce, if they're calling that Jell-O, or are people serving actual Jell-O post Thanksgiving? Like, I was completely baffled by that. Everything else made sense. Now, I would disagree with the choice, but it was like something I knew was served at Thanksgiving.
But to be
who's
your favorite
Jell-O, right? And then there's that too. Then it's your favorite, not just on your table, but people's favorite.
Definitely been at Thanksgivings where Jell-O has hit the dessert table, where it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. But for it to jump up and be your favorite and have several states, I believe it was Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana.
A lot of Midwest and, like, mountain states. Like,
yeah,
that whole, like,
Maine,
middle, like, top third of the country had it.
Yeah, so there was this map that went around. We were looking at it, going back and forth on Twitter, and several of your listeners had chimed in, and Jell-O was a big part of it. Anyway, that is my long-winded way to tie this in. What needs to be on your dessert table for Thanksgiving?
Apple pie.
Okay. Apple pie, and then anything
little
else.
Little scoop of vanilla ice cream, and I'm done.
Okay, and then everything else is gravy. I'm with you on an apple pie. We're very big in my family. We've always been big on the pudding pies, where it's the chocolate or vanilla. That's great. Obviously, you know, the Italian style, we have the cannolis, the pastries. There's always a ton of, you know, random cookies and, you know, whatever. You fatten it out. But I'm with you. Apple pie is a standard. I'm not a pumpkin pie guy. I don't think you really are either, if I remember correctly.
I mean, it's okay, and like, if it was there, I'd have like a sliver of it, but I wouldn't miss it if it wasn't. I'd miss apple pie.
pumpkin pie is one of those things that always is on the table, and I feel like nobody ever touches it, but it's there because it's supposed to be. And apple pie, I'm with you, needs to be there. But I bring this up because all these people talking about jello being their favorite foods, our own Connor Green, it ain't easy being green, now the producer of Sunday Morning Football. 2 years ago, I'm hosting a show on Thanksgiving, and we have a little food conversation like we're having now on the PGP, and he tells me his family, their big dessert, powdered donuts, Bogish. I mean,
now,
that is a
delicious.
Shocker.
They're delicious, but Thanksgiving dessert?
Apparently, there is a place near where Connor Green grew up or lives that does, you know, apple cider and donuts, and they bring that to their back to their Thanksgiving, and they do a warm apple cider, and they have these, like, specialty powdered donuts. And for 2 years, it is unbelievable. Connor Green could have all the work ethic in the world, do all these amazing things as a producer and an employee, and every time I look at Connor Green, all I think is, wow, this idiot has powdered donuts on Thanksgiving. I can't, and every time Thanksgiving pops up and I have dessert, these 2 years that have passed since, I keep thinking, Connor Green's family's eating donuts right now. Connor Green's family's eating donuts right now. I can't shake it because it's so off the wall and different.
But at least it's a tradition because I'm jealous of people who have things like that because my family is not really huge on things like that. I'm like, no, I don't come from a family of like cooks or bakers. My dad's mom was a really good baker, but like and a cook, but like she passed away when I was 20, so I didn't necessarily understand like what I was getting and what I was missing. And now that I think back, there's just not things that like that specific things that stand out. So even if it's powdered donuts, like thank God it's from a local place and they're not going to Dunkin' or like getting Entenmann's, as good as they are. Again, if you just open up the Entenmann's box on Thanksgiving, that might be dicey. At least this is this is a tradition. It's a local business, so I can get around that, and it's something that they remember and they'll always remember, which is a good thing too, I guess.
Well, clearly, I'm never there, and I always remember it. And I guess my roundabout way of saying this is: 2 years later, I look back and I think Connor Green is onto something, and it just brings up that, as much as I was boasting about how I do it right, nobody else does it right. Look, everybody has their own Thanksgiving traditions from all different parts of the country, and I think that's really cool. I think it's a really cool part about Thanksgiving and the dinner and everything that brings it down, and it ties in sappily to my beginning here where I'm excited for this week, and I think a lot of people are. I think this is a good week of happiness, even if we have some dog football games. Now, before I let you go real quick, Bogish, we have more or less concluded our 12 days of Christmas voting, and it is some year, some crazy, crazy year. Full disclosure, we are taping this right now before we have taped side A. So I'd be lying to you if I told you that me and DA definitely talked about it. My assumption is we probably did, if you've already listened to that part. But it's been very difficult. As of now, this taping, we don't have exactly the list finals. I have a rough idea of the list based on votes calculated. For you, Bogish, what was the hardest choice you had to make on the 12 days of Christmas? You don't have to say where you put it, but more or less, you know, a choice versus another choice on a ranking or leaving something out. You went through the 12 DAs. What was the hardest choice for you?
So I think to be very – I'm looking at my list right now. I don't – I have 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. Did I leave one off?
Oh, I hope
like
not.
I just pulled it up to remember. I only
no,
have
no,
11
you
listed
have,
there.
You wouldn't have. I wouldn't have missed that.
Did I must have – anyway. Oh, yeah. I did. You know what I missed? So what's not on my list that would have been on my list is your mom. Yeah. Oh, you see what it is? Number three has two things on it. When you want to go back in my email and recap your voting, I put two on one line. The Patriots funeral and your mom calling in.
Yeah, I noticed
one
that.
One vote,
right.
So you separate that. Okay, that
I have,
makes more
yeah,
sense.
I
so,
have. I have an Excel spreadsheet of everybody's ranking. Yeah, I have it.
There you go. So the first six for me, or really the spots two through six were tough to line up. Like to me, there was a clear number one in my mind because it just. It encapsulates everything about this show. Then the next ones all were kind of equal, and I didn't know how to really line them up. And I felt like the ones that came in five and six were being slighted. But in the end, the depth of this list is insane, and so it ends up more being like a compliment, I guess, to us for creating all of these moments that are so hard to push down the list, but they've got to go somewhere.
Yeah, and it should be noted that we have five of us, right? Bogish, myself, DA, Pete the Body, and Andrew Kaplan. Everybody, all five of our votes count equally. And basically, how taking behind the scenes and how I grade this out is everybody makes a list 1 through 12. And I write kind of like a golf score, the number there. And if there is one that you didn't pick that somebody else picked, you automatically, everything else after there gets a 13, if you will, because that would count afterwards. And basically, the idea is you're going to accumulate this list, and lowest total score would win. So, for instance, Pete had something on the list at number two, and I'm not going to reveal what it was, and none of us had it as a 12 DA. So the rest of us, by default, graded as a 13, if you will. So to make sure Pete's vote still counts, that's how you would weigh those options. And if something got no votes, then it's off the list entirely. What's crazy about the depth of this list, as Bogus alludes to, is there is only one of these where everybody voted it, or at least three people voted it the same number. And that would be three people voted one candidate, the number six 12 DA of Christmas. And other than that, the most you got were people voting something like somebody voted the number one 12 DA. It got two first place votes. Maybe I'm doing a bad job of explaining that. But in other words, we are so all over the board, the five of us, on where all these ranked, that it created a really crazy list. So for those of you locked in, obviously Bogus said he had some tough decisions. DA and I have been talking. A week from Tuesday, or I guess when we're taping this, next week, December 1st, we will play the first four out. The first four out will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of that week. And then the following week when we come back, that second week in December, we will have the 12 DAs kick off for real. So any last fan votes, any last, you know, conversation, get at us on Twitter. The 12 DAs are amazingly here, shockingly here. One of the coolest things we do on the DA show. The votes, at least internally, have been tallied. Curious to see where you guys would vote, or any kind of last minute, hey, guys, you should reconsider this as we finalize the list. Please hammer us home. Get Andrew Bogus on Twitter. Bogus, what's your Twitter?
Andrew Bogus.
And my Twitter is @MirazCBS. So everybody have a happy, healthy, safe, fat, gluttonous, whatever you want to call it, Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time with those close to you. It has been an insanely awful year in so many ways. But, you know, if you could sit down, enjoy a good meal, have some good conversation, watch some bad football, Thanksgiving should be a treat for many of us. So enjoy it. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.